Welcome to episode 5032 of the Peer Advantage Podcast. Small business, big impact. The power of the collective. Welcome inside the Yellow Studio. My name is Randy Cantrell, your host here at the Peer Advantage Podcast. Find show notes and other useful things over at the website growgreat.com. The United States Small Business Administration, the SBA, defines a small business as an organization with fewer than 500 employees. The majority of small businesses in America employ fewer than 100. In fact, one- and two-person companies make up most small businesses in America. So this is a very broad definition of small business. And there's an enormous difference in running a one-man freelancing operation versus some global 475-person organization. And yet both would be technically called small business based on the SBA's definition. I'm not taking issue with this, but my personal definition is in some ways even looser and in other ways more narrow. I focus on just a few simple things that I have found more practical for my work in serving CEOs and business owners. One, it's got little to do with revenues and headcounts. They're important, and I'm not minimizing them by any stretch of the imagination. And there is a correlation between those, between revenue and headcount, and the things that I quantify more important. For instance, how close is the CEO or the owner to the generation of revenue? I don't mean they actually do the selling, but, well, they might. And they certainly may help out every now and again. How close is the CEO or owner to the actual work of the company? If the company manufactures a product, delivers a service, whatever they do, how involved is the CEO or owner? I consider a business small based mostly on those factors and not the amount of revenues or the number of employees. My interest is in serving companies that have relatively flat org charts. Yes, companies with big revenues tend to have more employees, and with that, more layers of management, more layers of leadership. But here we are in the digital age, and that is just not necessarily so. For the past couple of decades, a single employee has been armed with sufficient technology to do the work of many, many people. According to the SBA, 99.7%, get this, 99.7% of American companies are technically small businesses. Companies with fewer than 20 employees comprised 89.4% of all businesses. That's a big gap, right? I mean, that's a big gap, fewer than 20 employees, all the way up to 500 employees. By every standard of measurement, small business dominates the business landscape. It's been projected that by the year 2020, about 50% of the workforce is going to be comprised of freelancers. Well, Dan Pink, he wrote about this in his 2000 book entitled Free Agent Nation, How Americans' New Independent Workers Are Transforming the Way We Live. Well, he was right. He was right in 2001, and as time goes forward, he's becoming even more right. Small businesses may not get the headlines, but they have an enormous impact, both economically and practically. They represent individual and collective power, contribution, and potential. And this is evidenced by the fact that companies with fewer than 49 employees have been in recent years responsible for most of the employment growth, according to the SBA, adding 44% of all new jobs. Small businesses have long learned the power of the collective. Their size has often compelled them to join forces. And this has happened for decades and decades in a number of areas. They have joined forces in buying groups, in marketing organizations, and other cooperative organizations so that they can leverage their collective size and power. If you are a senior citizen, or if you're even approaching senior citizen status, the AARP is seizing the power of the individual to bring about an enormous collective. A collective that, by the way, has not only great economic power, but political power in our country. But let me give you another example. The Nationwide Marketing Group is in the consumer electronics, home furnishings, and major appliances retailing space. Let me read to you what they say about themselves on their website. And you can go over to growgreat.com and just find this episode over in the search bar. Just plug in the number 5032. This is episode 5032. And you'll see a link to their website. Here's what they say about themselves. Nationwide Marketing Group works beside thousands of appliance, furniture, electronics, specialty electronics, custom installation, and rent-to-own dealers, helping them grow their businesses and their bottom lines. With some 5,300 members, operating approximately 14,000 storefronts, with estimated sales of $18.5 billion, Nationwide is North America's largest buying and marketing organization. Industry veterans heading Nationwide's 7 regional divisions work to provide independent dealers with personalized service and local programming in every market they serve. Now, this is a big organization, but there's 5,300 members. There's about 14,000 storefronts. No single member of that organization can possibly be as powerful as they can be together. And by working together, they're able to leverage not only their buying power, but their knowledge base. You know, it'd be a little bit like an antelope attempting to survive alone on the Serengeti. These retailers, 5,300 of them, they have learned that their survival and thrival is enhanced by joining forces. Small doesn't have to mean vulnerable to the market, doesn't have to mean vulnerable to competition, and nor does it have to mean weak. The sheer number of small businesses displays the passion, the determination, the dedication of American business owners to solve problems, to serve markets, and to make a difference where they operate. But, you know, it's a little bit like a single ember. We could take a single ember of a fire. We can move that away from the fire and left to its own. A small business like that ember can easily weaken and die. The passion can be extinguished. The practical reality of maintaining market viability, not only can it be tough, it is tough. Even if your revenues are measured in the millions, even if your revenues are measured in the tens or the hundreds of millions of dollars, market viability and maintaining market viability are tough. About 30% of small businesses will celebrate their 10th anniversary. Think about it. 30% will get to the age of 10. Now, I'm optimistic, mostly because I'm practical and I'm experienced. I'm very experienced at operating small businesses. I know the pain, I know the struggle, and I know the euphoria of being tough to compete against. And mostly, I know the joy of knowing that the market, our customers, that their lives are enhanced by our presence. And the question that we can ask about our own lives, it applies to our small business. Would they miss us if we were gone? And if they would, then you know you're having a positive impact. How can that impact be bigger? Small businesses individually have a big impact on their employees, their customers, their suppliers, and the market. And it may feel insignificant sometimes, but it's not. The ripple effects are widespread and they're lasting. But it can be better. It can be improved. There's a bigger power source to tap into. Like the example of that retail marketing group Nationwide, small business owners can join forces and find themselves experiencing the collective power that dwarfs anything they've ever known. Your parents knew this. Your grandparents knew this. They knew the value and the truth of the collective. That's why they would ask you, where are you going and who with? Where you went was something that they cared about, but if they were like my parents, they cared more importantly about who you're going to be with. What's the collective going to be? Mom and Dad didn't want us going anywhere with the wrong people. They knew the power of influence, and they knew that the people who surrounded us and who we allowed to surround us, they could make a big difference in the outcome of our life. The wrong kids, they'd get us in trouble. The right kids, they could provide the right drivers, motivations, and guess what? Yeah, the right outcomes. Birds of a feather flock together and all that. Our folks wanted us to be part of a collective that would give us the best opportunity for success and safety. Just emblazon that in your head here for a second. The best opportunity for success and safety. Nothing's changed. Absolutely not one thing has changed. You remember that popular book some years ago? In fact, I think it's well past its 25th anniversary, if I'm not mistaken, by Robert Fulghum. All I Really Need to Know, I Learned in Kindergarten. And it was subtitled Uncommon Thoughts on Common Things. You remember that little book? You likely learned life's many important and critical lessons before you started first grade. The power of the collective is one of those lessons. If our childhood playmates were important to our development, and they were, then why do we live as CEOs and business owners unconcerned about the power of the collective in our lives? Have we forgotten what we learned in kindergarten? Has our life grown so hectic and so complex that we're neglecting the fundamental but powerful resources that can help propel us forward? Together, we're more powerful than we are alone. We take a bit of money and we squirrel it away into some investment account, and then we put a little bit more money. And by putting this money together with other money, even a small amount, put together with another small amount, over time, that money enjoys the magic of compounding interest. But compounding isn't limited to interest. It's not limited to money. The power of the collective grows and is magnified over time. Hopefully, you experience that in your life. Hopefully, you have experienced that in, I don't know, maybe marriage, certainly with friendships. The power of the collective, it's everywhere. It's all around us. When birds migrate, we see it. When animals herd or flock together, we see it. When individual players join a team, we see it. When a singer-songwriter joins with other musicians, we see it and we hear it. When small businesses join forces, we see it. Going it alone isn't as efficient, it is not as effective as going it with somebody else or with a group. CEOs and owners sometimes tend to think that these things are true everywhere, except in my life, except in my work career. They can't and must not go it alone. And yet we as CEOs and business owners can think, well, I have to go it alone. No, you don't. So many misconceptions provoke faulty thinking. And you wouldn't tolerate faulty thinking in any other area of your business and your leadership. This is the most amazing thing to me. We can be so deluded when it comes to ourselves and taking care of ourselves. I did a video just a few days ago about workout, about being fit for leadership. And yes, it was a little bit of a play on physical fitness, but that's also true. We need to take care of ourselves. You know, those of us with that captain gene, the drive to lead and be in charge, we're driven to think of ourselves. And we are where we are because we're basically unemployable and we're not able to work for anybody else. And that can drive us to an unnecessary loneliness. Think about that marketing group nationwide. each dealer makes their own purchases. And what might be a great buy for one dealer may be idle inventory for another. And just because you're in the group doesn't mean that anybody's telling you what to buy or what to do. The group simply provides you opportunities that you would not otherwise have, support, services you would not otherwise have access to, the ability to make purchases that are more cost-effective so profits can be increased. Buy it, don't buy it, up to you. Now, we learned this in the neighborhood. We learned it playing around on the school playground. Playmates and friends, they influenced us, but we made up our own mind. We made our own choices. No, I don't feel like playing baseball. Let's do something else. What we did learn was very important. Our contribution to the group and the group's contribution to our life, it made all the difference. Sometimes it was obvious that the group wanted to play baseball. Well, that made us want to play baseball because we knew the group needed us. And we knew that when the group played football, something that we might prefer over baseball, we were going to want the group to support us in that. You can't really play baseball, can't really play football alone. Not if you really want to play and compete. Not if you really want to have fun. Play, compete, have fun. You want that in your career. You want that in your small business. Who doesn't want that? We want to play, and I don't mean in that frivolous sense, but we want to play. We want to play the game of business. We want to compete in the game of, and we want to win because, well, winning's fun. For years, I have boiled down business activities into three things. And I don't care what your problems are. I don't care what your challenges are. I don't care what your opportunities are. I can put them into one or more of these three things: getting new customers, serving existing customers better, and not going crazy in the process. By being part of a collective, we can enhance all three of these things: getting new customers, serving existing customers better, not going crazy in the process. The truth is, by being in a collective, we can reach brand new heights of success in all three of those areas. Otherwise, it's very difficult. It's not impossible, but man, it's a whole lot tougher than it needs to be. Examples are everywhere. Why do you ignore them? All around us are examples of the power of the collective. We've witnessed it in our own lives, and yet for some reason, well, for many reasons actually, although none of them are truly valid, we can refuse to deploy this most basic of powerful resources in our careers and our lives. That seems even more ridiculous when you consider your role as the CEO, your role as the owner. Let me give it to you. You know this because this is what you do every day of your life on the job: to manage the wise deployment of resources in order to grow your business. It's why you budget what you budget. It's why you approve what you approve. It's why you don't approve the things that you don't approve, because you are working as the CEO or the owner to manage the wise deployment, in your opinion, of the resources that are available to you so that you can grow your business. I've got a question for you, Mr. CEO, Mr. Business Owner. Are you wisely deploying your resources? You're not if you're refusing to let others help you. You're not if you're refusing to surround yourself with other CEOs and owners who can and will happily help you grow your company, your leadership, and your life. It's time. It's past time. Growth, improvement, and transformation won't happen by accident. And nor will they come to those who halt or delay. No, you know as well as me, the rewards go to the bold and the courageous doers. My name is Randy Cantrell. The website is growgreat.com. Be well. Do better. Until next time.